and welcome to a special episode of About the Town and this special segment where you can meet the candidates. It's election time again here in Sun City Center, the time when each of us as members of the community association is called upon to vote for our choice of those candidates who are running for election to the CA Board of Directors. This year, there are five candidates running for one of three 3-year terms on the board. One candidate is an incumbent currently seeking a second 3-year term, and the other four are new candidates, each running for the board for the first time. In each of these five segments, which will be presented in the same order as they are listed on the ballot, we will introduce you to one of the candidates so you can become better informed about each person as you make your selections. We're also adding a sixth segment, where we will have a discussion about the proposed financing for Phase 1B of the current master plan for our community. Ballots, which are in the November edition of the News of Sun City Center, must be returned to the Community Association office by 5 p.m. on Wednesday, December 3rd. Sun Radio, 96.3 FM, will have complete election results for you on the morning of December 4th, on the Thursday morning show at 7 a.m. Here's our interview with candidate Greg Eisman. Joining us for this section of the podcast on Sun City Center Podcasts and About the Town, as we look at the candidates who are up for election for the Sun City Center Board of Directors, we've got Greg Eisman in here, and turns out he was one of our neighbors and we didn't even know it. So welcome on in. Appreciate you stopping by today.
Thank you for having me.
That's good. I'm glad you're doing this. First off, thank you for stepping up and saying, yeah, you know, I think I can do this. I think I can help.
You're welcome.
One of the things that we have found as we have talked to people and interacted with most of the board, because I dare say we've known every board person for the last
12 years?
Yeah, pretty
about
much.
About 11 years.
And we kind of know how much work is involved in that. So you're in for an eye opener if you don't know already.
Sounds good.
All right, I think so. Did I see on your profile that you had some military service?
Yes, I did 24 years in the Navy, retired in 2006 as a Navy captain. So I enjoyed my time in the Navy, got to travel all over the world, moved 11 times in 24 years. So never too much in one spot. But yeah, 24 years.
Appreciate your service. We really
do.
We're very, very big military supporters around here because I also take care of the Veterans Corner radio podcast.
Okay, great.
For this town. You may have known Bill Hodges.
I did.
And the loss of Bill Hodges still hits us right in the gut. Bill and Phyllis, great friends.
He was one of the first people I met when actually my wife and I got here. So yeah.
Yeah. And then I guess that means you go to Bob's Vets on Thursday mornings.
I have been there a few times, hit or miss based on my schedule. I have.
Yeah. Good. Good. Okay. Well, Lisa, you have the list of things that we want to talk about. So why don't you kick it off?
Well, we know you've been in the military and you lived probably all over the world.
Right.
Where did you start out from?
I was born in Ohio, and after I graduated from high school, I went to the United States Naval Academy in Annapolis, Maryland, graduated from there in 1982, started my military career, eventually went back to the Naval Postgraduate School and got my master's in Monterey, California, in oceanography and meteorology. So I'm a meteorologist and oceanographer by education. And then went all over the world on aircraft carriers doing weather for the aircraft that were flying into the Persian Gulf during Operation Enduring Freedom, and just spent a lot of time interacting with both civilian and military personnel stateside and overseas. And then, as I mentioned, I retired in 2006. I was living in Louisiana at the time, working at our headquarters at Stennis Space Center, Mississippi. And from there, I worked as a contractor for the Navy, eventually stopped that and became a realtor and worked for 7 years as a real estate agent, and then eventually made my way down here to Florida.
So what actually brought you to Florida and to Sun City Center?
So I met my current wife. We just celebrated our fourth wedding anniversary 2 days ago. She was living in Baton Rouge, and I was living in Slidell, both cities in Louisiana. We met online. And got together. My brother lives here in Tampa, and so we came down for Thanksgiving. one year. And I said, what do you think about moving to Florida? And she said, let's do it. So we started looking once we were down here and just enjoyed the 55 plus community, because you've got instant people that are similar to you. You've got all kinds of activities. And it was just a natural fit to come down, and I'm very active and very engaged by nature. So to have all these activities basically at my fingertips, it was pretty much an easy decision. And so we did buy on the north side of North Pebble Beach, and now we're down the south side of
Well, if you're a sports person, the south side is probably fits you better. I'm not a sports person.
Right.
But all the sports facilities are, yes, except for lawn bowling.
Yeah, lawn bowling up on this side here, but yeah, they're
and shuffleboard,
right? So yeah, sports, but just other activities. My wife and I love to go to the dances at the community hall, so we get very involved. I kind of one of these people that dive in with both feet, and we've been here for 3.5 years, and that's kind of what we've done.
We don't dance because between the two of us, we have 6 left feet, so okay. We just don't do that.
Well, you haven't seen me dance, so you might think the same thing about me. But we enjoy dances and just, you know, being with other people in the community.
So what activities, which groups are you involved with in the Sun City Center?
Primarily pickleball. I've been playing pickleball for 15, 16 years now. Back when you said the word pickleball, people would look at you like you were from the moon. Of course, it's grown in popularity tremendously. So I've been playing for 15 years. I've been teaching, and I currently am a certified teaching pro at the courts. I've been teaching for about the last 3 years. We have 450 members at our club. I was the president of the pickleball club up until just recently. So primarily pickleball has dominated my playing time and my teaching time. But again, dances, speaking of dancing, the other thing I have done and I'm currently doing is there are 13 male dancers part of the Sun City Center Men's Golden Review, which raises money for... It's raised money 2 years ago for breast cancer, last year for Alzheimer's. This year, our funds are going to be split evenly between the emergency squad, the security patrol, and Samaritan Services. Last year, we raised $35,000, I think. And this year, we're hoping to top $50,000 because we're doing two performances in 1 day. February 11th, 2026, two performances in the community hall.
Wow.
Good for you. All of the organizations that you have mentioned can use the funds, I can tell you that.
Yes, I was part of the security patrol for about a year and a half. Enjoyed driving around. But you're right, all three of those, very worthy. I love the fact that they're all local. Mm-hmm. Breast cancer, Alzheimer's, you hope the money stays close, but you don't know. Those three, you know for sure. It's staying here local to support our community.
Absolutely, it is. Absolutely, it is. So what is your opinion of how the current board is doing?
I think the current board is doing very well. I know from running large organizations, both in the military and elsewhere, it's difficult to get everybody on the same page. You're always going to have your outliers. You're always going to have your differing opinions. But with all that being said, I think the board has done a very good job of keeping us moving in the right direction, which in my opinion is to make these facilities that we all get to enjoy as good as possible, keeping in mind that we don't have unlimited budget. So I think they're doing a very good job.
Yeah, and speaking of unlimited budget, I'm asking everybody this one, and I'm four square in favor of borrowing the money that the terms we're going to get. We'd be foolish, in my opinion, not to. But I'm wondering how you feel about the idea of the community borrowing the money from the Community Foundation of Tampa Bay to help build that second building and finish off phase one before the construction prices go up and all that stuff. And like I said, right. I'm not hiding it. I'm for it.
Right. I'm not either. I'm 100% for it. And I've talked to people who don't want to be in debt. And I understand that. But my analogy is, unless you pay cash for your home, you're borrowing money and you're in debt to a bank, a credit union, whoever is giving you the money for your home. Is there a risk? Of course there is. The economy could go bad. You could lose your Social Security. You could lose your income, whatever. But there's always going to be risk in whatever decision you make. And throughout my entire military career, and now, if you don't make a decision, that is a decision.
That's right.
And you got to make a decision. You got to minimize the risk. And you know what? In a year or 2 years, if that decision was not the right one and you're presented with different circumstances, you pivot, you make a different decision. So I don't like the fact of sitting around saying, what if this happens? What if that happens? That doesn't make any sense to me. I'm 100% before moving forward, especially after listening to the foundation's presentation a few weeks ago. I was very impressed with the way that they handled the presentation and the terms upon which we're going to get the money. 100% for it.
Good.
Well, Sun City Center Community Association is really unique among 55 plus communities. We're 501c3. The Community Association, other than helping to maintain the 55 overlay and maintain the facilities, really has no say-so over your home. They cannot, if something happens, they cannot assess us. They can't even raise our dues without our approval.
Right.
We are run by a volunteer board, and if you get elected, you will find out how much work it is. I go to a lot of the board meetings and the just to sit in and listen to find out what's going on. I will say that a lot of people don't understand exactly how Sun City Center Community Association is run.
Right. I think part of our job, part of the job of the board is to educate, because I hear people constantly saying, it's going to raise our HOA dues. It's going to raise this. It's going to raise that. And if you just take the time to look at the terms upon the fact that we're using the capital fund, and I think Ron Clark and the rest of the board does a great job of saying, the people who are paying to build these new facilities aren't even here now. They're future residents who are paying that $3,000 at closing. Those are the people that are building. They're paying for these buildings. Not you or I
well,
or any.
We have prepaid for them.
We prepaid for them.
We paid our capital fund fee when we moved in.
Right.
And one of the things that we were told at the time, well, maybe there'll be another pool. Maybe there'll be, you know, upgrades. That was the promise to us that when we paid that fee, that our facilities would be maintained and updated as needed.
Right. I guess I should clarify the $3 million we want to borrow. Is the future residents come. But you're right. You and I and everybody else who lived here, we put our...
That money's already in the account.
In there with the anticipation of keeping these facilities, you know, up to date and modern, safe, clean, all those kind of things.
Plus, according to our bylaws and our articles of incorporation, that money cannot be used for anything but capital improvements.
Correct.
They can't take that money and you know, well, we'll just put it in and nobody will have to pay dues for a couple of years.
Right.
No, can't do that.
Bylaws are pretty clear, yes.
Pretty clear. I mean, that would take a major overhaul of our bylaws, which we don't want to do.
No.
Sure,
no.
Sure.
So back to the board. What else do we got here?
So pretty much covered it. Well, what do you envision for the future?
Oh, I like that one. Yeah. What do you think? What do you think?
You know, I was thinking last couple of days in preparation for this interview, you know, I made the rank of captain in the Navy. I was very proud of that. But I would always tell people, you know, I don't know how I became a captain. I really don't. But as I thought more about it, I wasn't the smartest person in the room. But I think what I bring to the table is just a reasonable approach, a common sense approach. Let's listen to all the different opinions and then make a decision now, not later, if it's warranted, based on the best information that we have at the time. So my vision, I don't have a platform that I want to build this building or rip this thing down. My vision is to hopefully get on the board and be the voice of reason and try to rein everybody's in, not me personally, but just listen and then say, look, it sounds like you want to go this direction and you want to go that direction. And we can't go two different directions and 180 degrees difference. We got to come to some kind of resolution. So I feel like I'm kind of a negotiator, conflict resolver kind of guy. And so that's what I would hope to bring to the board is just that voice of reason that says, that's a little too expensive. Not that many people here want it. It's only going to serve a small group. Let's look at the bigger picture and see what the majority of the group want and go in that direction.
Yeah, democracy.
Pretty much democracy. Imagine that.
Well, yes and no. We also have to abide by the laws and regulations that are imposed upon a 501c3.
Absolutely.
So a business like Kings Point or Valencia Lakes, they run their business differently because they're for-profit companies.
Right.
So they can do things differently, and they have to pay income tax and sales tax on things that they buy. As a 501c3, one of the reasons our dues can be kept so low is that the merchandise that we purchase to maintain our property are usually tax-free.
Right. Yeah.
Because so, and we do not want to lose our 501c3.
Agreed. I mean, that's very important to maintain. And you're right. It does change the playing field a little bit as to how we approach.
Because there's a lot of things that they can do at Kings Point that we just cannot do here.
And maybe we don't want to do them either. So you're right. I agree. So that's kind of my vision is look at all the different, you know, I want to look at all the clubs. I want to look at all the activities. High Neighbor was great. Fun Fest is great. All those things are great. What can we add? What's not getting very good return on investment, so to speak? What's not popular with people? And give the people what they want. Hence your comment about democracy. That's kind of how I felt. And again, keeping the facilities clean and safe.
I do feel that even though there might be certain things that might be a small group, but they deserve just as much as the big groups because I don't play softball. Right. I don't play pickleball, but I am glad that our community has those facilities because it increases our popularity. It increases our home values. It makes our community more vibrant. So there may be a small club that needs something.
Right.
And our board does a really good job of helping them get the facilities they need.
I'll give you a good example from High Neighbor last night to your point. I was walking around talking and I went up to the front porch pickers.
Yes.
Small group. And I know that they're ones that would potentially be adversely affected by taking Rollins Theater down. So I went up and I talked to the two, a man and a woman sitting there. I introduced myself and I said, how bad is this going to impact you? And they said, pretty devastating. We go there and play. We have 40 to 80 people, depending on high season, low season. We don't know what we're going to do. They deserve to have a facility, someplace, a venue to play. So whether it's pickleball that has 450 members or front porch pickers that has a handful or, you know, several dozen, everybody's got a right to live in this community and do what they love to do. I don't sew. The sewers need to have a place to sew. I don't play softball or volleyball, but it's nice that they have facilities to play. So my point being, small or large, if you've got an interest, then you ought to be supported by the board within reason. We can't just build you your own building over there, but within reason. Everybody needs to feel like the board really cares. Right. And maybe they can't meet all my needs, but at least they listened. Mm-hmm. Thank you for listening. A lot of times that's what they're looking for.
I know when volleyball, there was a lot of delays. You probably saw some of it, but a lot of it was because of permitting.
Yeah. Permitting.
So it was a long, drawn out process. We had the money. We wanted to go ahead. The board wanted to do it.
Right.
And we had to wait for those permits. So, you know, then every couple of months it was like, well, we're still waiting, or no, we got to go back and do this now because, you know, 6 months later they said, oh, well, we need this review.
But if you communicate that.
But eventually it happened.
Yeah, if you communicate that to the members, they feel like somebody actually cares. If you just say, I'll tell you when it's done, don't bother me, that leaves a different taste in their mouth than if you say, we're going through the permitting process. We're working hard. Here's an update in January. Here's an update in February. Mm-hmm. Then at least the people who play that sport or take part of that activity know that the board actually cares. That's really what they want, I think, is just to be heard and go, yeah, it's not the best, but at least the board is working on our behalf. And I know they are.
The other thing that I've noticed over the years is that people in the community, if they don't have a vested interest in what's going on, they don't show up. They just don't. And you may have seen this if you were down here for the start of pickleball. When pickleball courts were going to go in, the board meeting was packed. Once you got your pickleball courts, it was a ghost town again.
Right.
And that tends to happen. Do you have any kind of an idea of ways that you think we might
engage people in local, I won't call it government, but local community, you know?
Thank you.
I think there's a segment of the population here that, for whatever reason, they just don't take part. They treat this more like just living somewhere else as opposed to a 55 plus community, which is fine. They don't go to Fun Fest. They don't go here. They don't go listen to the bands. And that's perfectly within their rights. I feel they're missing the opportunity that you're living here. And when I can go to a dance in the community hall for $5 and listen to a fantastic band and bring my snacks and drinks, I'm happy as can be. But there's a segment of the population that I don't think you're ever going to reach and say, come out, come to a board meeting. Come to the, now, if they, you make them angry,
yes, they'll show they up.
Speak,
yes.
They will speak their mind very, very quickly. But if they're happy, they just kind of fade into the woodwork, or they just don't say anything.
Yeah.
That's really the key, is how are we going to get everybody on board? Now, I was talking to the Save the Green people last night. They did a door-to-door, house-by-house survey. I think they said back in 2022.
Yeah.
They reached just about every house, if not every house here. And they said overwhelmingly, 90% of the people were in favor of the Save the Green initiative. I was thrilled, A, that they reached that many people, and B, that the numbers were like they indicated, because I don't think if you went around and asked everybody another question, would you even get any responses? Because I think statistics say if you ask 100 people whatever question, you're going to get about, you know, you on an email or something like that, a phone survey. If you get 20-25%,
I took a marketing class years ago. Well, this is years ago, so it may have changed, but back then it was direct mail. There was no email when I took this course. There was no email. There was right. no social media, nothing like that. But in the marketing course, a direct mail, they would consider if you got a 2% response, positive response, right. that was good.
Right.
2%. So if you sent out 100 letters
right.
asking for something or promoting something and you got two responses, that was a good response.
Right.
I'm sure, and it used to be that advertising, I think it was, you had to see something 7 times before it would impact you.
Right.
It's probably a lot more now because there's so much.
Well, think about a Google review. If you go to VRBO and they send you a survey, Radar Facility, if something went wrong, you're on your computer writing and, you know, just really getting them their attention that you weren't happy. If you loved it, yeah, you may go, we loved it, we're coming back next year. But the majority of the people who like it or loved it are not going to send a response. So when you look at an Amazon review, a Google review, most of those are slanted negatively. So same thing here in Sun City Center. You do something that makes a lot of people angry, you'll get a lot of people at the board meeting stomping their feet. But if you say, we want to do something, you want to give everybody $10 for free or something, everybody, I mean, they'll say, great, give it to me, but they're not going to come out in the numbers. So back to your question about how do you get people out, I think it's communication. Just keep direct mail, emails, texting, whatever it is, get the word out. But I just think there's a segment of our population that just is like, well, we're happy, we don't need to drive our golf cart, drive our car.
I think one of our biggest votes is when we voted for the master plan.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And 85% of the people that voted said yes, they want right. to move forward.
And so here we are trying to execute that plan. And there is some resistance. I think it's the minority. They bring up valid points. What happens if the restaurant in the new building fails? What happens if this? What happens if that? We could what if it, you know, till next week.
What happened is a hurricane hits us, you know?
Exactly. And it did a couple of years ago. So I'm a big proponent of just saying, let's look at all the risks and rewards, make a decision in a week, 2 weeks. If we get hit by a hurricane, we may be sitting here making a different decision, but at least we're going down one path rather than just sitting here in neutral.
Well, for the final couple of minutes, Lisa and I are going to shut up and we're going to give you the go ahead to just tell everybody why they should vote for you for the Sun City Center Community Association Board of Directors. So take whatever you need. We've got quite a bit of time here if we need it. But you know, you don't want to put them to sleep either, Greg.
No, just a couple of minutes. I mean, my wife and I have lived here since 2022. We love it here. We're fully engaged in a lot of the activities. We want to be here long term. I've always been a person that feels responsible to get involved rather than sit back and say, well, somebody else will take care of that. I've never taken that approach. So when I saw there were some openings on the board, I'm like, here's a great opportunity. I've done it for 450 pickleball members, and there were headaches, but there were a lot of successes and a lot of gratitude shown to me for my time and effort on that board. Well, now we're going up 10, 20, 50 fold on this, but I'm taking the same approach. Shame on me if I want to sit here and complain and not be involved. Not that there are a lot of complaints, but I want to be involved to make this facility as best as we can, because we're in competition with other 55 plus communities and other communities that have pools and gyms and this and that. And I want people to, who are potentially thinking about coming here, to look at this facility and say, this is pretty darn impressive. And it only costs, because we're a nonprofit, it only costs this. Well, over here, it's costing me 5, 10, whatever times more.
That much a month rather than once a year. Yeah.
So really, it's just, I'm looking forward to the vote. And if things work out well, I'm very excited to work with the other board members and make Sun City Center the best it can be. But again, we don't have a checkbook that just we can just write checks, you know, left and right. We really have to be fiscally responsible. But I think we can balance that fiscal responsibility with making some pretty darn good facilities here for people to enjoy. That's in a nutshell. No other hidden agenda, no other platform, not coming in trying to do this or that, just trying to be a representative that helps better our community.
Well, Lisa and I have been here today with Greg Eisman, who is running for the Sun City Center Community Association Board of Directors. And you have our every wish for a good result. And we've got there's going to be a total of 6 interviews on this one, because there's 5 candidates, and I'm bringing in the Community Foundation of Tampa Bay for the same amount of time that you guys get to talk about the loan, because that's on the ballot too.
And sure. So
that's what's coming up here. But I want to thank everybody for listening to this, and Lisa and I will be back with another one of these interviews just as soon as we possibly can. Thank you, everybody.
You've been listening to About the Town with your hosts, Lisa and Vern Hendricks, on Sun City Center Podcasts. The views expressed on this podcast are those of Lisa, Vern, and their guests, and are opinions based on the best available information. In matters of law or government regulation, it will always be best to check with the appropriate agency. Thanks for listening, and we hope you'll join us again for your next walk about the town.